Let us begin our service with a word of prayer. Lord God, our Father in heaven, as we have gathered ourselves together this evening, we want to thank you for the opportunity. We want to thank you for protecting us on the highways as we traveled here. We're thankful that we have a place to come and gather in quietness and that we can worship thee the way we so desire. And so we thank you. We thank you for our government that allows this. And so now as we look into thy word, Father, we would pray a blessing as only thou canst give. For we commit this into thy care and keeping in Jesus' name. Amen. With God's help, I would like to turn this evening to the 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5.
Naša druga poslanica Korinčanima, peta glava.
For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in heaven. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for this selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. And therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, I trust also are made manifest in your conscience. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should henceforth live unto themselves, not unto themselves, but unto him who died for them and rose again. And wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet not henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given unto us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that he might be made the righteousness of him. May God bless the reading of the word.
Let Our God, our Father, who art in heaven, we kneel before thee in this evening, on this midweek service, that thou hast blessed us with an opportunity to come together. As the word of life is opened before us, O Lord, we give thee thanks for this opportunity and for this word that was read this evening. And Lord, the confidence that thy servant Paul had when he wrote, "For we know," to know that when this earthly body is gone, that we will receive one that is eternal in the heavens. And Lord, we pray that we also would live in the Spirit as thou, O Lord, has given thy Spirit unto us, that we would walk in the Spirit as thy servant Paul did, who we read was an ambassador of Jesus Christ, a representative of thee. Lord, we pray that we also would be representatives, ambassadors of Jesus Christ, and in doing so, O Lord, we also would have that same boldness and confidence that we know when this life is over, we have an eternal home in the heavens where we will receive a new body to live forever with thee. Lord, we pray that each of us would consider the word that we have read and the fact that our life is here but just for a span of few years. And then, as we have read also, the judgment seat, to stand before thee, O Lord, and to be judged for the works that we have done in the body, whether they be good or whether they be bad. Lord, impress deeply upon our hearts that we are just one heartbeat away from standing before thee to give an answer for the thoughts that we had today, the actions of our day, whether we lived in the Spirit or lived in the flesh, that we will stand before thee to give an answer for that. And so, Lord, the plea went out that we would be reconciled to God. And we thank thee, Lord, for thy grace and thy love, that thou art our Creator and thou art our Lord and our Savior, and that thou art merciful, and that thou art calling us to be reconciled unto thee. Thou art calling all, O Lord, unto thee. So we pray, O Lord, that those who do not know thee, who do not know thee as a Savior, that they would be reconciled unto thee through the repentance, through faith in thee and love for thee and repentance. And a new life, O Lord, is given. We pray, Heavenly Father, that thou would bring these souls, whatever age group they may find themselves in, O Lord, to the reality of life and its shortness, and that they would come to thee as thou art merciful yet another day. We pray, Heavenly Father, that thou hast blessed us all who were able to come, and bless the reading, bless the meditation, O Lord, as our dear brother will speak. O Lord, we ask that thou would give him the words, that the thoughts that would be conveyed and would be thoughts that come from thee. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that we all would have receptive hearts and open hearts to receive the word and the blessing that pours down from heaven as we gather in thy name. We thank thee for this opportunity and pray for those, O Lord, who were not able to come together with us, that thou would bless them also, O Lord. Thou knowest each and every one and their stage in life that they're in and what they need. We also, O Lord, pray for those who are sick and our elderly, O Lord, as the years are coming upon them and frailty of the flesh, perhaps where they cannot even come together. O Lord, be their confidence, be their strength. Uplift them in spirit, O Lord, that they would feel thy presence and that they would know that thou art near. So continue with us, O Lord, as we have come together to worship thee. Bless our gathering, and we ask it all in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
We know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Paul, the Apostle Paul, had that confidence as the brother prayed, and that he had a strong faith to believe that this was the truth. And so as he expounds upon this, we see that he talks about this as he talks about it being, he says, for this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon our house which is from heaven. And I don't believe that he's referring to, for an example, Christ, when he left, he promised his disciples that he was going to leave and that he was going to go and prepare a place for us. And I always thought of that as a mansion or whatever you want to call it, a place of abode in heaven if we will follow him, be true to his word, and live faithfully the days that we have on this earth. And so when we die, we have this hope and this faith to believe that we will receive that place, that we will have a place to stay. And this is what I believe he's referring to. But when he talks about this house that is dissolved in this earth, he's not talking about our home where we have an abode. That he's referring to our bodies, our beings, us. We as believers, we as children of God, we as men and women, however you want to look at that, that's what he's referring to. And so he talks about this, how he earnestly would like to be clothed. Not that he would be unclothed, but that he would be clothed with this and not be found naked. And he wants this he has this longing and this desire, if you will. And I believe that every one of us that ever was become converted, we have that same thought, hope, and desire. That one day, when we end this life, that we're going to be with him forever, that we're going to put on this clothing, if you will, and we're going to be with him, and he's going to be our God and our Father, and he's going to be our brother as we live in earth. We have no idea exactly what that's going to be like. The scriptures do not make that real clear, exactly how you and I are going to be able to exist when we once die. But we do have enough in the scriptures to give us a confidence and to give us a joy and a hope, if you will, that one day when we are gone, when we pass from this life, that we will, and I believe this is every person that's in here's hope, that they will go to heaven. And this is what he's referring to, that we will go to heaven. He talks about this robe, and I can't help but think of Christ, and when he talked about in the Revelations, he talks about the robe that we will have on, the robe of righteousness, which is, I don't believe anything more than our faith in Jesus Christ. We know that when we're living on this earth, there's nothing that we can do that we can earn heaven. It's only by the grace of God that we're saved and that we can go to heaven, only by His good grace. It's not what we say, what we do, how we live, who we are, who our parents or grandparents or anyone else was. It doesn't make any difference. We're all saved by the same, very same thing, and that's by the grace of God. However, if we don't believe in Jesus Christ, and if we don't accept His plan of salvation, then this grace that He's given us is nil. It's nothing. It don't mean a thing. You must believe in Jesus Christ. You must accept Him as your personal Savior in order to expect to have this robe of righteousness will be given to those that will live godly and die godly. And so He talks about that, how He would rather be absent from the body and alive with Christ. And that's the desire of every individual, especially for those of us that have a few more years in our lives. I long for that. I can understand what He's talking about when He says, we groan within. And how many times I've felt that feeling. If only the Lord would take me and I could go be with Him. We get troubles, we get problems, we get difficulties, we got health issues, all kinds of things that plague us, if you will, that discourage us. And then you think, one of these days it's going to be over. One of these days we're not going to have this. One of these days, and so this is the groaning that He's talking about that we have. And the older we get, the more groaning, if you will, we find ourselves. I don't remember as a young man, even newly converted, when I never had that desire. I want to go now and I want to be with the Lord. I don't want to live in this earth no more. Nothing like what I've experienced in the last few years. Never. I always was glad that I was alive. I was always thankful that what I had and how the Lord has led me and so on and so forth. And I never really had that earnest desire to be gone from this life and into the world. You just live and you learn to cope with problems and difficulties in life. Yeah, that happens. It's going to happen. Christ didn't promise no bed of roses when we become His child. We become His children. We got persecution. We got trouble. Yeah, that's true. Satan doesn't leave any of us alone. And so we can see how that is what draws us away from our Christian walk of life because of what Satan has to offer us. And so we have to mortify the deeds of the flesh. The Apostle Paul wrote in the book of Romans in chapter 7, you can read, where he talks about that battle between the flesh and the mind and how the flesh wants to desire this and the mind wants to desire that. And our mind, that's what our mind wants, is wants to be with Him. You see, the Bible makes it very clear. Flesh and blood will not inherit eternal life. Only our soul will inherit eternal life. And this is what he's referring to. Our soul salvation. And that's what it's talking about here. And this is what we groan for. This is what we long for. This is what we want. And every believer that ever was baptized has that hope and that desire. But it isn't going to come automatically. When you become baptized in the likeness of death, it doesn't come automatic. Okay, now you're saved. Now you're going to go to heaven. That's true. If you remain faithful to Him until your dying breath. The baptism is no guarantee. It's only a symbolic that we have been buried in the likeness like Christ was buried. We rise out of the water. We become a new creature. Old things have passed away, all things become new. That's what he said in this reading we had tonight. And that's what it's all about. Our life has changed. We're different. We are believers in Him. We want to be faithful to Him as long as we live. Now that might sound like a meaningful task and a hard thing to do. I remember thinking, not me, that kind of life is way too strict. I don't think I could live like that. That's too rigid. It's rigid, that's true. But if you don't have Christ in your life, if you don't have the leading of the Holy Spirit, it will be very rigid Because you see, when you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're doing everything on your own. And that's why it becomes so rigid. You can't do it on your own. You can't do it by yourself. You need God. You need Christ. And this is the thing that every one of us realize when we become baptized and live this life for any length of time. We suddenly realize that this is not a bed of roses. It's only a bed of roses as much as we put our faith in Jesus Christ. And when we can put our full trust in Him, take things as it comes, by faith, as He says here, we walk by faith, He said we walk by faith and not by sight, because when you do, you're on your own, you're not living according to the Word of God, you're not living according to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And so this is why He's encouraging us here that while we're in this body, we need to serve Him. That's why He says here, wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. What do you mean accepted of Him? What did the Apostle Paul refer to? I thought when I'm baptized, am I not accepted of Him? Yes, of course I am. But that like they say, is not the end. It isn't over. Now because I come up and I'm out of the water and I'm now a new creature, I new things, everything's different, I got changed, I died to sin, okay, I'm going to live my life. But we got to realize that we still have to live this. That's why he says here, or we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. And that's not the only place the apostle writes that. He warns us a number of places in the scriptures we're going to give an account. And that's why we have to live the godly life that we do. That's why we want to, and that's probably why we groan the way we do, because the rigid life that it does require. Walk the straight and narrow. Christ said, there's two roads. One's broad, one's narrow. Which one do you want to take? You want to take the broad and wide easy way? That takes you right to destruction. If you want to go to heaven, then you better get on that straight and narrow road. The rigid, if you will. And live by it. Because if you don't, rest assured, you don't stand a chance. You're headed down the wide and the broad way, and that's nowhere that I want to be. No way. So you see, I want to be able to give an account for my life when I got to stand before Christ. And if I don't respond to the scriptures like it teaches me, if I don't do what it expected of me, that is to love one another, to love the Lord, serve one another, be obedient to your parents, if you will. The list goes on and on. These are things that bring honor and glory to our God, and it gives us a good report we're going to gain when we get our rewards. And this is what he's talking about, our rewards. You see, our rewards are different than what our heavenly home is. We're saved by grace. And if you believe in Jesus Christ, you can assure you're going to be saved. But if you don't live a godly life, then your grace is nil. Your grace is down the tubes. Sorry. You must live the godly life that it's talking about here, because we're going to give an account. And this is what he's trying to impress on our hearts and in our minds, so that we understand that this is not going to just be an easy road. It's only going to be as easy as our faith in Jesus Christ is applied to our lives. That's the only way. And once we can grasp that meaning, live accordingly, we will find that the road is not as bad as what it might originally seem to you or think it was. But when we differ, and we differ, get away from that narrow way, you got problems and difficulties. And that's why he says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also made manifest unto your conscience. So So you see, the Apostle Paul felt deep within his heart to lay this on our hearts, to allow this to be part of God's word and the scriptures which we can read to this day. That we well understand and know that the terror of the Lord, and we try to persuade men. You know, it's one thing to accept God in love, and we do that. And we know that he's the God of love. The scriptures teach us he's love. He's a very loving God. And he's very forgiving. He's very patient with us. He's very understanding. You go on down the line, he's all of that. That's good. But there's a terror side of Christ, of God. Now, he made eternal condemnation. He made hell for the devil and his angels. That's what he made it for. He didn't make that for you and me. However, if we don't follow his precepts and his commandments and his son Jesus Christ, then we are absolutely on the wrong side. We are definitely going the wrong way. And when we don't recognize that, then we got real problems, because we have failed to accept the plan of salvation through Jesus Christ. And so, dearly beloved, we need to realize that there's that terror. And if you don't follow his ways, you will end up with Satan and his angels. And if you don't believe that, try reading the book of Revelation, where they're going to be cast into the fiery furnace, where it's going to burn forever. We can read in Luke where the rich man died, went to hell, and the beggar went to the bosom of Abraham, and he begged for a tip of Abraham to just put it on his lip to cool his tongue because he was in this torment. That's part of this terror of the Lord. And we try to persuade men of that. If you hear that kind of a sermon, it's not because we got nothing else to talk about. No. We have the responsibility, even as the prophets of old, the watchmen that were to warn the people. If we don't warn the people, we have not done our job. We might as well sit down and stay there and button it, because you're not doing your job. You're not warning the people. And this is what he's doing here. He's warning us. There's a terror of the Lord, and that we need to be persuaded of that. We need to understand that. And that's why he says there. And it may sound like he says, for whether we beside ourselves it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because thus we judge that if one died for all, then all are dead. And then he brings us in about Christ being dead, and we being dead to as he is, and that we will be live with him forever and to know him. And so this is as it talks about here, that we must be reconciled with God. And how do we become reconciled? What does it mean to be reconciled? You know, we read in Matthew 18, and it says there that, beginning with verse 15, and when a brother has trespassed against you, you're to go to your brother, and you're to go to him for the reason to gain your brother, to reconcile with your brother. It also talks about in Matthew that if you have bring your gift to the altar and you know you have something against your brother, go and make it right. Reconcile with your brother. In other words, clear the slate. Make it right. And then bring your gift. This is what he's talking about here. That we would be reconciled with God. And the only way that we can be reconciled with God is through Jesus Christ. This is what he's saying to us. That God sent his Son to die on the cross for us, shed his blood, that we might have life. And by that faith, and in that faith and believing that, we can become reconciled with God. Otherwise, we are not reconciled with God. God's in control of everything. We know that. And we want to be with Him. We want to be like Christ. We want to be a brother to Him. But the only way that we can do that is to believe in His only begotten Son and trust in Him and live accordingly. And so that what He's talking about, this word of reconciliation. All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God is in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So you see, when we become children of God, we become reconciled with God, and reconciled means nothing more than to coexist, to be blended together with Him. And this is what the word reconcile really means. And so then when we find ourselves, when we feel that we have been reconciled with God and made one with Him, if you will, then we become these ambassadors, as he says. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. So you see, when we become one with Christ, we become His child, then we become His ambassador. We're representatives of the heavenly host. We're representative of God's ways, and especially through His Son, Jesus Christ. And so as we look into this scripture here, for He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And the only righteousness that we can have, that we can ever obtain, no matter what we do or don't do, is the righteousness of Jesus Christ, because we have believed in His name, we have believed in Him, we have trusted in Him, we have obeyed the Word, we have lived that godly life. And so as we groan and earnestly desire to be with Him, whether we be dead or alive, we have that longing within us. And then because we have that feeling of reconciliation, and as a result, we are His ambassadors. And believe you me, people will know if you're an ambassador for Christ or not, simply by the way you live, things that you say, the way you act sometimes, the way you come across to people. They'll read you like a book. They know immediately whether you are an ambassador for Christ or you are something else. And so it lays a great responsibility, if you will, especially for young people this day and age, for the young people to become converted and become children of God. I know, and it seems like there's such trials and temptations that the young people have to go through, far greater than what I can reconcile that or realize that what I ever had to face and go through. I think, and only it's because sin has become so rampant on the face of this earth that it just makes it very difficult to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ. But you can do it. You can do it if you believe and trust and can become reconciled with Him. He will see you to it that you have the grace, the mercy, and the desires in your heart. And people will know that, and as a result, will bring honor and glory to our Heavenly Father. May God bless these few words upon our hearts. Amen.
Dear ones, the chapter that we read this evening is one that really brings us to, as Paul says here, to the judgment seat of Christ. He says we will all appear there. We will be made visible in front of the all-searching, all-knowing eye of God. We will stand. It says to give an answer. to receive of the things done in his body according to what he had done, whether it be good or bad. So as the brother even mentioned in a prayer about how we live our life and in the pursuit of various things, those things we'll have to give an answer for. Every item, every aspect of our life will be determined, is it in alignment with the Word of God or not? This is a very sobering chapter. The message was very urgent, we heard, of a life that must be lived in accordance with the Word of God. And as we see here, the plea to be reconciled, we can see who God is in the picture that is so vividly given of the prodigal son as he went and scattered the inheritance all over the countryside with harlots and you name it, riotous living, it says. And he's coming back, and he's coming back, and we see the father looking for him. And he comes out and runs to him, runs to the son who chose a different path than what he was raised up in. And he comes back and he receives him and hugs him and kisses him, puts the shoes on his feet, the robe, the ring, the fatted calf, the dancing and the music, as is described. And he was no different with the elder son, who was not spending his life in riotous living, but in self-righteous living. And we didn't even see that he is being reached, but the father is pleading with him. That is what this is here when it says God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. And the plea is, be ye reconciled to this God who gave his only begotten Son to die for us. And so, dear ones, as we heard the message this evening, it was a really fitting hymn that we close with, this hymn in 282, there before God's throne appearing, who are yonder host in light, each a golden crown is wearing, shining like the stars so bright. And it goes on in a verse that says, who are they who in such glory to the throne of God are drawn near? Who are they? And then the answer is given in the following verses, and we sang one. And these are they who have conquered, who to God have hallowed all. Christ's salvation have discovered, loved the Lord till death did call. And now they stand before the throne. Now they stand wearing the eternal crown. It's being offered freely, offered and given. As the brother mentioned, we must have a life behind us. And that is alone, dear ones, what will empower our prayers. Our prayer life is the life that we have. That is the force. When we are clothed in his righteousness, living a life that is pleasing unto him. And when we kneel before him, he hears our prayers and he answers speedily. May God bless his word upon our hearts in this evening. Amen.